How is everyone? Those that are in the foyer are making their way in. Feels a little strange to me to be in here. It's 2 weeks in a row I wasn't here. I know last week you thought I was just playing hooky. The week before was vacation. But I got proof that I was on campus. Now this particular classroom, and one of the reasons I'm showing you this is because all of our children are in here with us this morning. On the fifth Sunday, the children's church is in here. But I had eight boys. Not only did I have eight boys, I had eight jet tackle type boys. But it was phenomenal. I enjoyed it. One of the other reasons that I'm showing you this is they are in need of some volunteers on Sunday morning in the children's department. And they have it worked out so easy for you to get involved. It does not take a rocket scientist. It does not take an education where you have to be a trained teacher, even though they will teach you some of the things. But basically, you do in a small group. You're with about six or seven children. There's an activity you do when they come in. Then you take them to large group. You sit with them in large group. You don't even have to do anything in large group except sing a song and worship. You do that in here anyway, right? So then you go back to the small group and you have about 15 or 20 minutes left that you do another activity. So I just encourage you, if you had one Sunday a month to give to the children's department, it would change our children's lives, make an incredible difference. So I just encourage you to... You don't have to have the jet tackle class. There is other classes. And I give them just a little bit of a hard time. But I love it. And anytime I get an opportunity to pour into the children, I sign up for that. So I do that on a quarterly basis. But I want to welcome you to Eagles Way this morning. So if I'm going to ask you to stand, and you have a choice to make, and you've already made the hardest choice, and that was to get out of the bed and get out of the house and to be here. But now I'm going to ask you just to enter into worship with Him. Concentrate on who He is. The love, the fierce love that God has, that He has poured out for you. Let's worship Him.
Jesus. sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given away. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes darkness rejoiced as though heaven had gone. Sure.
So this year has been all about at the table, and you know, life brings us unexpected things, and this year with the theme, we've had some passings in my life, starting with Big Mama, and a good friend of our family, Rodney Harris, passed away. Great guy. I mean, just somebody I looked up to. My best friend Clint Patton, his father passed 2 weeks ago, and it was a very emotional time for me because I looked up to his dad so much. He was such an inspiration to me. But as I think about life and where I am right now, and we're at the table, and I've just been overwhelmed with love. Love that I could pour out on people, and love that's getting poured out on me, and they don't even know that love's getting poured out on me. And with this theme and all that, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for where we are in life. I know it's hard sometimes, whatever you're going through, you know, if there is a death that you're going through, or if it's just whatever it may be. When you come to Eagles Way Church, you're at the table, you're loved, God loves you, I love you, everybody here loves you, and there is no shame here. You don't have to bring that here, because we see right through it, and we love you just as he loves us. That's what you're going to get here. And I am just so thankful for that. And today I just want you to be with me in these next songs. There are awesome songs. One of them's I'm Not Afraid. I'm not afraid of the future. I'm not afraid of anything. We are surrounded by love. And we just thank God in his presence today for that.
Show me your glory. So in Song of Solomon, the metaphor is that we are the wife and that God is the beloved. And a translation for a line in that book says your love is better than wine. But the original language of the Hebrew of the word that they're talking about means more than one love. God has loves for you. And I just want to read you something that Kitty shared with me this morning. God and love and God's loves is something that we cannot describe. We take the context out of our language that we can't even describe it. We break the language of it. So this word love, we can't even adequately express God's feeling for us in that word. So God doesn't just have love for you, but many loves. And when you need his mercy, this means that he loves you with a merciful love. When you need his strength, this means that he loves you with an encouraging love. When you've been wounded, he loves you with a tender love. When you need the love of a friend, he loves you as a friend. When you need to be lifted up in his arms, he loves you with the compassion of a loving father. His love for you is many. He loves you today, not with yesterday's love, but with a love for today, a love that is every morning. Therefore, you must seek not only to know the love of God, but to know the loves of God. You can never rest on knowing yesterday's love or the love that you've ever known before. You must seek each day to know the loves that he has for you, the new love, the fresh love, the surprising love, the never-ending love. It is that love, his love, that is better, much better than any earthly joy. For his loves are better than wine.
Love.
God, that you won't relent until you have all of it, God. What an awesome thing, God, to know that your love is there all the time, every day. We are so thankful for your love this morning, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for each person here, God. Thank you for walking with us all day, every day, and being with us, God. We thank you that you're not somewhere far, far away. We thank you that you're right here in us, and you won't relent until you have all of our heart, God. We give you praise this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
As pastors come in this morning, I want to remind you that your connection card is in your bulletin. We want you to take that each week. That is a way that you can communicate prayer requests or things that are going on in your world that we need to know. Don't expect me to read it on Facebook. I'm not there. Share with us those things. Allow us to, that's a way that you can sign up for different things also. And just drop that connection card in the offering bucket at the end.
Amen. Good morning. Got something I want to share with you this morning. If you put that up on the screen. J. Paul Papabothany called me a few weeks ago and asked that we would help them. His ministry in India right now is helping widows and also rescuing women who are in real bad situations, and he brings them in. And for a one-time $500 donation is going to, for two widows, is a sewing machine, table, scissors, material for 6 months, training, food, housing, and starting a business for her. She'll be come self-sustaining. And I just offer that to you. You want to help in that over the next week or so, just let us know and make out a check to, of course, the Eagles Way Church, or hit your button, however you want to give, and put India, and we'll know where to send that. Amen? Whew. Life is good. God is good. God is good. I'll give you an update on Mike. We chose another path. We gave into another path. We hadn't given up. We just given in to another path. And he went on hospice care Friday. And we haven't given up. We're going to believe for strength, and he's got to get nourishment. He has eaten better in the last week than he's eaten in the last month. And we're in the process of fattening him up right now. And I can do that. I have a gift of doing that. And so we're fattening him up to get him strength to overcome. Amen. Never give up. I've been knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise again. And that's what we believe. Amen. All the way. I'm going to close out this series on the Father's blessings at the table. And I'm kind of glad I'm closing it out, even though I've enjoyed the series. When I started this series, I got impressed by God when I was in the Cayman Islands. It's not difficult to get impressed by God when you're in the Cayman Islands. When this series came from, I was sitting on the beach in the Caribbean, and God reminded me to go back to Jacob's blessing of his 12 sons. And so I went back and I pulled out some old notes, and I started trying to go and do what a good scribe does, take things from the old and the new and bring them together. And I was having a little difficult time, Ralph, be honest, taking some of those old notes and bringing it up to the new and merging them together. And so I actually had a couple of messages where Dusty came to me afterwards and said, I kind of get where you're going and I kind of get what you're saying, but I said, it's difficult. Just bear with me. I'm going to get through this. We're going to finish what we started, so we're going to get through it. But how many, your father, your grandfather, how many know how great a blessing that is? Don't you just love blessing your children? Don't you? You love blessing your children. You love loving on them. And there's nothing more you'd rather for them to have than blessings. You want them to be blessed more than you were. You want them to have more than you had. You just want the best for them. And blessings, I want you to know, there's a lot of ways in blessings. But we want to talk about today, we're going to end it this morning with two tremendous blessings that are on our lives. I'm going to go back through all the sons just for a moment. But we're going to end with fruitfulness or productivity, if you will, and power. How many know that what everybody wants is fruitfulness and power or strength? We want our strength. We don't know what it's like until we start losing our strength. So everybody wants to be fruitful and everybody wants to have strength or power. And we can have that because God, that's part of the blessings of the Father. And so when Jacob took those 12 sons, he began to bless them. And he told Reuben, and you're Reuben today. I want you to know every time I say one of these sons' names and every time I pronounce one of these blessings, this is you. You're not just one of the sons who's getting one of the blessings. You're the son or you're the daughter who's getting all the blessings. Everything that he said about Reuben, everything he said about every one of his sons, God says that to all of us. And Reuben, he said, you're preeminent. You've got strength. You've got power. You're the firstborn son. You get the most. You get the best. How many know that you are joint heirs with the firstborn son? And he says, Reuben, all you need to do to get this is just get stable in your life. Just be stable. Don't be double-minded. Don't be believing one day and doubting the next day. Keep your eyes focused on me. Just keep balanced. Keep stable. And if you will, you'll keep this. And then he takes Simeon and Levi and says, you know, Simeon and Levi, you got tremendous blessings, but you got a little problem. You got a problem with anger. How many know you can't be blessed and be angry? I had just never have been blessed and be mad at the same time. It just never has worked. I've never been angry and felt blessings. I've never been angry and felt good. I've never been angry and was happy. I've never been angry and anything really good come out of it. I know we try, well, sometimes I have righteous indignation. No, you're just mad. You may call it righteous indignation, but really you're just angry. And so he says to Simeon and Levi, you know, don't let anger govern you. And, you know, the sad thing was Levi went on and he conquered his anger. Simeon didn't. But there was a Simeon in the New Testament who did conquer his anger. His name was Peter. Peter was Simon, and he had an anger problem. If you don't think he did, look, he pulled a sword one time and cut a man's ear off. That's anger. That's an anger. I would call that an anger problem. He swore he didn't know God. He even cursed around a fire. He was so mad because of what was going on, because his will wasn't being done. Then Jesus' will was being done. Oh, I could go. I didn't even think about that. You know, why did he get so upset? Because Jesus was getting his way. Sometimes we get upset because Jesus wants his way. We don't need to get upset because he wants his way, because his way, how many know, is the best way. He just didn't understand that Jesus' way was the best way. Later on, he did. Later on, he really understood Christ's way was the best way. And he was able to say at the end of his life, don't crucify me upright like you did him. I'm not worthy. Crucify me upside down. And history says that he was crucified upside down when he was martyred because he wanted to honor, didn't want to die the way his Lord and Savior did. So he overcame his anger. Then there was Judah, and said, Judah, the ruling scepter will never leave your hand because you're such a worshiper. You're such a praise. How many know if you worship and praise God, you rule? You know, the Bible says that we bind the chains of our enemy when we praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He said, praise him with the loud sounding cymbals. Praise him with the stringed instruments. Do you know we do that on Sunday mornings? Yeah, hello. Yes, they're loud. They're loud sounding cymbals. That's what Psalms 150 said to do. And praise him with all, he says, and you bind the kings. You put them in fetters. You conquer the enemy when you... the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Wow. He says, Zebulun, you're a haven of rest. You're a place where the ships are going to come in from the sea and they come out of the storms and they're going to find rest with you. Do people find rest with you? Do people come to your port and find peace and a place to rest? Said Zebulun, that's what you're going to be, Issachar. You're going to be like a donkey crouched between two burdens. You're going to bear burdens. How many know what to bear one another's burdens? Huh? That's what you're called to do. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He said, Dan, you got to learn mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And Dan didn't learn mercy. Matter of fact, when you go to Revelation chapter 7, you have the 12 tribes of Israel mentioned. Dan's not there because Dan didn't continue to be merciful. And the Bible says he was placed with a tribe called Manasseh. And that means to forget. Okie dokie. Asher, Gad, you're going to get in some battles and it may appear you're going to lose, but you're not in the end. I love that. It may appear I'm losing, but I'm never really losing. I'm never really losing. I'm going to win in the end. And I'm not talking about when Jesus comes, because he's coming every single day of my life. He came today. Yes, hello. Yes, I got up this morning. Guess what? Jesus came. He's always coming. He's always coming in my life in a new and a fresh and a vibrant way. And he said, Asher, you got to learn how to handle your prosperity. I'm going to say it again. It's more difficult. You just think you want to prosper. For every 10 people who can handle adversity, one can handle prosperity. And there's a time when you got to understand what extravagant giving is and extravagant love is. And we learned that last week with Mary when she was at the feet of Jesus. Let me just rehearse that story one more time, because there was one time when Lazarus and Mary and Martha was in the same kind of setting. They was at their house. But Martha was so worried about, she was so trying to impress Jesus, so trying to impress him that she, the Bible says, old King James says, she was cumbered about with all these worries. And she says, Jesus, tell Mary to help me. You ever done that? Why do they get to do this and I have to do that? Life can be, you ever get that way? You ever wonder why they get it and I don't get it, why they get the rest and I don't get the rest? But Jesus says to Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with a lot of stuff that ain't really that important. She's chosen what's really important. But this last time is a total different setting. There's Simon, who was a leper that was healed. There's Lazarus, who was dead, and now he's alive. And there's Martha, and she's still serving, but this time she's not serving out of trying to be accepted. She's serving out of gratitude. She's serving because she wants to be grateful and thankful to God for what he's done for her. And here's Mary. She's not at his feet this time drawing on him and pulling on him and trying to get something out of him. This time she's there in gratitude ministering to him. This time she's ministering to him so that when it comes to the time of his death, just maybe, instead of smelling the blood that was pouring out of the pores of his skin, he was smelling the sweet fragrance, the aroma that came from the expensive nard. Her whole life savings she poured out on him. The disciple says, this is an extravagant waste. Jesus said, this is extravagant love. I mean, you know, every now and then it comes a time for extravagant giving. Extravagant giving. It may seem wasteful. Somebody else may say, I can't believe you gave all that. I can't believe you gave all that away. And yet her gratitude was so awesome. She took everything she had saved her entire life and she poured it out on Jesus for his burial. Sometimes we just got, you know, been just a few times in my life when I've done some really extravagant giving. But I tell you what, it was such a blessing to do it. And I've never regretted one time the extravagant gifts I gave because God's always come back. See, Jesus is in the last week. I won't get on, I promise. He's in the last week of his life. And two things happen. A rich young ruler comes and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I've kept the commandments since I was a youth. And he was a very wealthy man. And Jesus said, sell everything you have and give to the poor. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had a lot. Jesus didn't say, sell everything you got and give everything you got away. He said, sell everything you got and give some of it away. Just give to the poor. Help somebody else. That's all he's saying. And he goes away sorrowful. And Peter chimes in. I love Peter. Lord, we have forsaken all and followed you. We've laid it all down. I left my boat. I left my rod and reels. I left everything. I left my nets. I left my livelihood. We've left it all and followed you. It's always somebody thinking that way, isn't it? It's like Elijah problem. Lord, I'm the only one serving you. I'm the only one. Dude, there's 7,000 that's never bowed their knee to Baal you don't even know about. You're not the only one. Not the only one. And Jesus looked at Peter and says, Peter, let me just tell you what you've done. No man's left mother or father or brothers or sisters or lands that will not receive back in this life. In this life, houses and lands and brothers and sisters, in this life and everlasting life. You can't outgive God. You can't do it. And then he said to Naphtali, he said, you're just so favored. Now I'll tell you, when all these blessings are in you, guess what? You're going to be fruitful. You're going to be productive. And you're going to be a force to reckon with. You're going to be fruitful, you're going to be productive, and you're going to be a force to reckon with. You're going to be powerful. Say, I'm powerful. Did you just say that? I'm powerful. I'm powerful. You know, gratitude is such a thing. You know, over the years, I've had this relationship with Mike since we was in the third grade, and I have mentored him tremendously over the years. He's mentored me in some ways over the years, but over the last few months, he's mentored me more than I've mentored him. Because here I am, as healthy as I can be, as far as I know. I don't have any pains and aches and woes. And he just is filled with thankfulness and gratitude. He does not complain. He does not murmur. He doesn't say, all of us need to get kick in the butt sometimes. When we mumble and we grumble and we complain and all is well with our life, he's just teaching me. He's mentoring me. He's mentoring me how to be grateful and thankful. How to be grateful and thankful all the time. Not sometimes, all the time. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I've got no reason to murmur. I'm getting way, way ahead of myself. I'm on power. I ain't got there yet. I'm way, way ahead of myself. We don't need to complain. We don't need to be murmuring. If he can be in his shape, in his pain, full of gratitude, thanksgiving, and encouraging me all the time, blessing us all the time. Oh, we got to get it together, folks. All right. And so there's two guys left, Joseph and Benjamin. And Joseph means fruitfulness, and Benjamin means son of my right hand, and he's full of power. But it says this about Joseph in Genesis 49. He said, Joseph is the foal of a wild donkey, the foal of a wild donkey at a spring, one of the wild donkeys on the ridge. I don't know what all that means. Archers attacked him savagely. They shot at him and harassed him, but his bow remained taut, and his arms were strengthened by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the shepherd of the rock of Israel. In other words, don't you love that? May the God of your father help you. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above, the blessings of the watery depths below, blessings of the breasts and the womb. May my fatherly blessings on you surpass the blessings of my ancestors, reaching the heights of the eternal hills. May these blessings rest on the head of Joseph, who is a prince among his brothers. And then in Deuteronomy, Moses does this at the end of his life. He starts blessing them. And in Deuteronomy 13 says, keep none of the plunder that has been set apart for destruction. Then the Lord will. That is not the scripture. I don't know how I got that. It's 33. You got 13. Pull up Deuteronomy 33:17. I think, my bad, I gave you the wrong scripture undoubtedly. So this really has nothing to do. Somebody may need this. You don't need to keep somebody here. This is not a mistake. Somebody doesn't need to keep the plunder. You need to give it back. So I just let you know. Is that good? Joseph has the majesty of a young bull. He has the horns of a wild ox. He will gore distant nations, even to the ends of the earth. This is my blessing for the multitudes of Ephraim and the house thousands of Manasseh. In other words, Joseph, you're just going to be so fruitful and so full of blessings. And then in Ephesians 1, get back to it. Who's going with me? All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Are you blessed with all spiritual blessings?
Yes, sir.
You know, you're seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. Do you know that? I'm still getting ahead of myself. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. You know, before he was even born, he made you holy. Before he was even born, he made you without fault. Do you know you stand before God today completely without fault and holy? And holy doesn't mean you're holy like that. Holy means you're different. And you're supposed to be different because everybody else is complaining, you're not. When everybody else is going down this road, you're going down this road. When everybody else is saying this, you're saying something else. When everybody else says the worst is yet to come, you're saying the best is yet to come. Let's go. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. And that word adoption is not the word adoption that we have today. Adoption today is you go to a court and you take a child and you adopt this child into your family, and that child becomes yours. This adoption is a passageway into a new insight and a new understanding. It's that you've come to age now and you can see it so you can get it. You can see it, you can get it. You can understand it, you can have it. You got to see it before you. How many of you know you got to see it before you can get it? You got to understand it before you can have it. It's got to come into your possession before you can do anything with it. And so he says, you know, in Galatians chapter 4, that's what he said. At the right time, Christ came. And then he says, and when we come into the right age, he adopts us. In other words, you get full benefits of the Father because you see it now. I didn't know this years ago. I didn't know this year. I didn't know how much he loved mankind years ago. Matter of fact, I thought he loved some of us and didn't love some of us. Matter of fact, I thought he's throwing some people in hell and taking. I thought very few was going to heaven. I really did. Because I was taught that, I taught that. Because I saw it that others saw it that way, I saw it that way. I didn't think there was going to be very many people in heaven. And I come to find out it's going to be a whole lot more than people have any imagination there's going to be. You're going to be so surprised. Because he said God decided in advance to adopt us, give us this understanding, bring us to himself through Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich and kindness and grace, that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. The word wisdom comes from the Greek word sophia. It means knowledge of the most precious things. It's human and divine. It's the answers to the problems of life, God, and eternity. Boy, it's got the answer to everything. That's the wisdom. And then he says, I give you understanding. It's you're able to solve all the problems that there are. Wow. Aren't you glad you're a problem solver, not a problem maker? Are you a problem maker or a problem solver? In this world, you shall have problems. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the problems. I paraphrase that for you in case you didn't know. In this world, there's going to be some tribulations, but you're going to overcome. It's okay. Paul said if you're getting married, you're going to have trouble. That's what he said. So if you get married, you're going to have problems. Nobody told me that. No counselor set me down before I got married and said, you're going to have trouble. Matter of fact, I had the furthest thing from my mind was marriage problems. When I stood before my father and he united me and Barbara, I had not a clue what I was doing. I have one thing on my mind and one thing only. Just hush, let's get out of here and head up the road. That's all I had in mind. One thing, I guarantee. That's all I had in mind. I didn't know that there was other things coming along with it. I didn't know there was light bills to be paid. I didn't know there was all this other stuff that comes along. I didn't know that. I didn't know that every now and then she's going to upset me. I didn't know that. I thought when I saw her, when I dated, I didn't think this beautiful, gracious, I don't know where I'm going with all this, wonderful person could possibly ever give me trouble. And when she married, she thought I was perfect. And she never could dream having ever a problem with me. But guess what? She did. She did. And she's had more problems with me, believe it or not, than I've had with her. And I'm still way ahead of myself because I'm going to close out with this to show you how to really release power in your life. I'm trying to get there. I really am, David. I'm trying to get there. But all this other stuff keeps cropping up. But thank God, in my lifetime, he's the problem solver. He's given me some wisdom and some understanding how to solve these problems. I don't have to let the problems govern me. I can govern the problems. I don't have to let life govern me. I can govern life. I can be the thermostat, not the thermometer. Well, how do I get? Now I'm getting to it now. Here in James, he said this. He says, I want to tell you how to get a harvest, dear brothers and sisters. Be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. And now he's talking about way down the road. He's talking about every single day. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring, and they eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. Now, I want to talk to you. I want to give you 41 years of ministry, some things I've learned about how to get the harvest, how to see the fruitfulness in your life. You ready? Okay, two of you are ready. The rest of you just join on in as we get there. Number one, life comes out of death. You can't get life without death. The seed has to go in the ground. It has to die before it can bear fruit. Jesus said, except a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. There are some things in my life I had to die to. I had to die to self. I had to die to having it my way. I had to die to the past. I had to die to it. I had to die to my past pain and hurt and my past understanding. I had to die to it. Barbara and I have been married 40 bunch years. And let me tell you one secret of why we're here. You won't? Exactly. We've never, ever bring up the past. Never. Never. I said, never. The past is never brought up. The past is the past, and the future is the future. The present is the moment. This is all we got. And you never bring up the past, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to be fruitful. You got to maintain the vision. You got to believe the best is yet to come. You got to believe this too shall pass. You got to believe that I'm going to overcome. You got to believe I got to keep my focus. I've got to keep patiently waiting on the harvest because it's going to come. And listen, this harvest is something that, thank God, we don't get once a year. Matter of fact, the Bible says in one of the minor prophets, he said, this is really what God wants. He wants the reaper to overtake the sower. And that what's happening is you're sowing and you're reaping all at the same time. See, I'm reaping today what I sowed months ago. And I'm going to reap tomorrow what I'm sowing today. Because I'm always sowing, I'm always reaping. Therefore, I never have a time when I'm not reaping. Exactly. You just got to keep doing it. You got to keep doing it. You got to get the early rain, and you got to get the latter rain. See, let me explain this the best way. This is the way I understand this. When I get something, the seed gets in my life, I get an early rain on it. I get this early, refreshing rain on it. And then I get a latter rain on it. So it's always refreshing. I'll give you a scripture in Deuteronomy 34:7. I didn't know if I was going to use this scripture or not, but Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyesight was clear, and he was as strong as ever. Another translation says his face was not abated. He didn't have any wrinkles. Wow. He was, a lot can be said. Let me carry it a little further. In the real depths of the word in the Hebrew, this is what Moses, they're saying about Moses. It's not so much that his eyesight was clear. That's great. I'd love to know. I didn't have to wear glasses at 120, wouldn't you? They didn't have them back then, I guess, so couldn't have had them anyway. He might have needed them, didn't know he needed them. I know. I'm just kidding. I just threw that out there. Yeah. Sometimes I crack myself up. I don't mean to, but anyway, let me tell you another thing that this means. This is great. Moses was moist. Moses was fresh. Moses had this freshness about him. At 120 years old, he was as fresh as he was 20. His attitude was as fresh as it ever was. And so he says, see, I forgot it. I will. But you see, Moses wrote this. Moses wrote this. Moses wrote the first Bible. He wrote this. And he said it about himself. I'm just as fresh as I was when I was young. God wants you to stay fresh. Renewing, refreshing all the days of your life. Not just some, all that even in the difficult times, I'm fresh. In the good times, I'm fresh. In the hard times, I'm fresh. In the good times, I'm fresh. That whatever's going on in life, there's this, my maintaining this freshness about me because of my relationship with God. And what happens is a fruit comes. And the fruit is of our lips. Hebrews 13:15 says, by the fruit of our lips, let us give thanksgiving unto God. So what is the fruit? What's the fruit that God wants you to have? Let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to Him, or thanking Him and praising Him and being grateful. That's the fruit of our lips. And then there's the fruit of our life: love and joy and peace, long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and meekness and faith. That fruit is so much better than any natural fruit. How many know, I'd rather have that fruit than natural fruit? It's better than a banana. Love is better than an orange. Love, joy is better than whatever kind of fruit there is. It's better. So, I'm going somewhere. You ready? How do I know I'm receiving my harvest? What are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth? What are you speaking? That's your harvest. What's the fruit of your lips? That's your harvest. And then he said there's a fruit of your life. Your fruit of your life is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, kindness. And then there's a fruit of your labor. In Romans 6, I love this. Romans 6, when you were slave to sins, you were free from the obligation to do right. There was a time in my life I wasn't obligated to do right. You know why? I couldn't do right. You can't be obligated to do something you can't do. And when I was in sin, before I knew Christ, I wasn't obligated to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness as a result of the life. So I know when I'm getting the harvest is when my lips are proclaiming it. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, kindness and meekness and faith is pouring out. And I'm doing the right thing. Doing the right thing is not me choosing to do the right thing. It's the result of me being the right thing. So in the end, how do I release now the power? You can't release the power to all these other things there. Can't release the power. And this is how you release the power. In James chapter 5, again, he said, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Realize who you are. And don't think that somebody else has more power than you do. He said Elijah was a man just like you are, but he had power. And he could release that power, and he could release that power because of, and this is how you release it. Number one, take courage. Say, take courage. I love that because he's still in James chapter 5. He didn't say, be courageous. He said, take courage. In other words, in life, watch this, in life, when things come my way, stand up. If you have to do it this way, just do it this way. Take courage. Don't mean you're courageous right then. You say, I'm taking courage. Right? You with me?
Yes.
Say, take courage.
Courage.
Number two, don't complain.
Don't complain.
You know, how many, I almost hear this every day. I really think I almost hear this every day. How you doing? I'm fine. No need in complaining. Nobody going to listen to you. How many you hear that almost? How you doing? I'm doing all right. Ain't no sense in complaining. Nobody listen to you anyway, right?
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 Right.
God don't listen to you either. See, when you're complaining, it don't matter what somebody else says. It's what God says. I'm not worried about somebody else and my complaining. I better be worried about what God thinks about the complaining. And tell what God thinks about the complaining. You ready? There were some episodes in the Old Testament. And there were some stories told that God did some pretty rough stuff with people. Pretty bad. And there was idolatry. There was adultery, immorality. And there was judgment, and there was judgment. But the Bible says there was more judgment on complaining than anything else. Let me tell you something. God hates complaining. And you know what? Because you're creating the likeness and the image of God, you do too. You really do. There's not a person here who doesn't hate complaining. Now, you don't hate it in you. How many hate to be around people and all they're doing is complaining? Huh? Yeah. You ever been around people and all they do is complain? You don't want to be around those people, do you? No. Complaining keeps the power of God from being released in your life. Complaining suppresses what's in you, which is the power of God to be released in your life. It just keeps it pressed down. But you can release this power. You have the ability to release it. And I want to end with a prayer that's so simple. We've shared it over the years from time to time. It's a prayer that I pray almost every day. It's a simple prayer and it's so easy to pray. A man named Jabez, you hear nothing else about him but this prayer. It was a man named Jabez. And he prayed to God and he said, God, bless me. Bless me. Prosper my endeavors. May your hand of power and protection be upon me. Keep me from evil. Lord, bless me indeed. And when you carry it through the cross, you start praying it in a different way. I am blessed indeed. He does prosper my endeavors. His hand of power and protection is upon me, and he keeps me from evil. I tell someone this week, you know how to overcome temptation? Don't go there. Don't be tempted. That's how you overcome temptation. Don't be tempted. He said, when you're going down the streets and you look down the street of the harlot, don't go down that street. Don't go down the street. And he goes on to say, because if you go down the street, you're toast. That's what he says in Proverbs. You're burnt toast. If you go down that street, you're burnt toast. That's why Jesus said, this is how I want you to pray. I don't have to pray this way. I want you to pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, thank you for blessing me. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, what we need from you. Forgive us our debts and our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Don't let us go down the wrong road. Help us always be aware of where I am and what I'm thinking and what I'm saying and what's going on. Because if you do that, I'll never go down. I won't be tempted. It's better just not be tempted than it is to try to overcome temptation. Because it's so much easier just to live it than to try to overcome it. Oh, gosh. So much easier just to live it than to try to overcome it. Just don't go down the road. You have the fruit and you have the power. God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You're seated here, but you're really not. You're seated with him in high places. You're seated with him in heavenly places. And so there was a woman who came to Christ one time and said to Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, because they had a total misunderstanding of his kingdom, when you come into your kingdom, promise me this, my two sons, James and John, want to sit on your right hand and want to sit on your left hand when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. You have no clue what you're asking. Can they drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Now let me take it one step further. every single one of us are seated next to the right hand of the Father with Jesus Christ. You know why? You drank the cup. You drank the cup. And what Jesus was saying to her, they can't do it. He didn't say that. He just said they got to drink the cup. I'm glad I'm drinking the right cup. Aren't you glad you're drinking from the right cup? All of these blessings, church, that Jacob blessed his 12 sons with, and Moses also blessed those 12 sons with, he has blessed you and I with. They're all yours. They're all mine. Every single one of them. Would you bow your head for a moment? And you're here, maybe you're hearing for the first time how much God loves you, how much He wants you to be an overcomer. You, maybe it's just kind of seeping in just a little bit deeper. Would you just raise your hand right quick? Just raise up your hand and say, I'm seeing some stuff I hadn't seen. I'm turning over, as it were. God bless you. I'm turning it over. Turning it over. Won't you stand with me? And I want us as a church, as a body of Christ, I want you to join with me. I want this prayer to get so ingrained in you that you're able to say it every single day of your life. Say, I am blessed indeed. He prospers my endeavors. His hand of power and protection are upon me. He keeps me from evil. When Jabez asked that, the Bible says, and the Lord granted his request. Now that Jesus has died, how much more does he grant our request? That is already there. That we don't have to ask him for this. We just proclaim it. It is. I don't ask him for it. He has blessed me. He is prospering my endeavors. His hand is upon me, and he is keeping me from evil. Amen. That good stuff. You're so blessed. We're so blessed. We're all so blessed. All of us have the same blessings. Not a one of us differ from the other. Thank God. Thank God. One last thing. Okay. This is the most difficult part, but the most blessed part. You say that about yourself, right? You got to say that about others. To reflect the glory of God, you have to see the glory of God. Until you see the glory of God in other people, you can't reflect the glory of God. That's the key. That's the one that I stumble over every now and then, Billy. I stumble every now and then over it. I'll be honest with you, I stumble over that one every now and then because sometimes I have to really look to see the glory. But I just have to look beyond the flesh and look to the heart and look to the spirit and look to the creation that God made them. Maybe seated. Ushers, come to receive a morning tithes and offerings. We have had over the last couple of months some two air conditioners to go out and had a water problem up in the youth building, a big flood that would have been really, really bad that God kind of intervened in that, and somebody was up at the youth building on a Tuesday morning that normally is never there, and if they had not walked in there, there wouldn't be no youth building. It would have been like Noah's flood. It would have all been gone. But we've had a lot of extra bills that come along, so I want you to keep that in mind as you give. We appreciate that. And that's just it. Done about all I can do today. Said about all I can say. I love you. I'm supposed to say I love you too. Somebody says they love you, tell them back. God bless you. You're good people. You're good, good people.
Tell them about their sacred self.
Yeah, this coming Wednesday and for the next five Wednesday nights, we're going to have Dr. Ralph Martin sharing on your sacred self. If you'll read out, there's a poster outside, and this is an awesome, awesome teaching and instructions about who you really are. And you're not, what do we say? You're not to criticize. There's three or four things about your sacred self. You're not with me. Is it in there? Yeah. Read the poster when you go outside. There's a poster out there, and on the poster it describes the sacred self, and you'll want to come when you read the poster. I'm not doing a good job getting you here on Wednesday. That poster, though, it'll get you. All new material. Say new. 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 Read the poster. It's great.
And even though we're meeting every Wednesday night, the first Wednesday night is still First Wednesday, so there'll be worship that evening. And the third Wednesday night will be at the table, so there will be a meal that will be served at 6 o'clock in the youth building. So you must sign up for that. So it will be on your connection card starting next week. So we will plan for that. We're going to pray and bless the offering, and then we're going to stand to worship. And on the last Sunday of each month, you come and give your alms if you want to do that. And we thank you for Ty, and we have Braxton over here, young men, receiving the offering for us this morning when they're in here on the fifth Sunday. Pastor just really believes that there are times that they need to be in children's church, but there are times they need to be with us. And so we plan for that. God, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. Lord, we can receive, but Lord God, we can give our time, our talents, our treasures. Thank you for these young men, Lord, that are giving of their time this morning, receiving the offering. Bless them and their families. Amen. Stand, let's worship.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given away. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner, no man. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. your